Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Good Radio Network, radio that does a world of good. This isn't your average talk radio show. We're blasting away the old tried and not so true mold. Instead, TGRN turns talk into action. And action leads to doing positive things for people, our environment, and even the animals.
Well, I'm only one person. What can I do?
A lot. Join host Frankie Picasso while she turns talk into doing and gets results. This is the Good Radio Network. Yes, you can do it if you try, even if you're just a regular guy. Now, here's your host, Frankie Picasso.
Good day to you wherever you are in the world. Bienvenue, and welcome to the Good Radio Network. I am your host, Frankie Picasso, and if you're joining us on Thursday, February the 12th, then you are connected to the live version of the show. And if you'd like to join us on air and call in and speak to myself or my guest, I highly encourage you to do so. The number is 845-241-9943, and press 1 to be connected and put into the host queue. Looking forward to hearing from you. It is February, and we are 2 days away from candy, roses, romantic dinners, jewelry, and of course, red and pink hearts everywhere. All the trappings of just a Valentine's Day. So if you're spending this day alone, no worries, you can still celebrate because you'll be spending the day with someone that you should love and treat right all the time. You got it. It's yourself. My guest today is a most extraordinary woman, as well as one of the most courageous that I know. She has a heart the size of Texas and could be considered an expert on the subject of love. It's been said that love makes the world go round, and this couldn't be more true for pet life story designer, photographer, digital artist, videographer, and 3D animation specialist, Kathy Draccioni, owner of Picture a Moment Productions and the Canine Community Reporter News. Kathy loves animals, abandoned animals, shelter animals, animals that live with you, and the pets out there who could be getting even more love than they are. Kathy put all of her considerable talents to use to make her mission of converting more people into pet lovers, to help current pet lovers become even better lovers, and she wants folks to know that our pets are not disposable. And she's doing everything that she can to educate, entertain, and get our attention so we can learn to understand our pets from their perspective. And I can't wait to learn more from her and introduce you to her, so please welcome Kathy Draccioni, and I think Charlie might be with us, too. Hi, Kathy.
Yes, he's
in the background.
Yeah. Yeah. He's on watch.
Oh, good for him.
Good morning, everyone. Good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure, for sure. Kathy, you have loved animals for probably as long as your whole life. Do you remember the first time you had a pet?
You know, I do. Let me see. I'm 68 now, so I was like around 4 years old, 4 or 5 years old. And I happened to be one of those people where the dogs would follow me home. And I would tell my dad and my mom that I don't know why they followed me. They did. Of course, I was always trying to feed them something.
Could have been that leash around their neck.
Yeah, yeah. So I remember I brought one home, and I think by this time, I was maybe about 11 or so, and my dad let me keep the dog. Now, my dad died when I was 13, so it was like when I was 11, and we named the dog Tippy. Well, it turns out that we couldn't keep the dog, and we had to bring him over to, at that time, it was called Orphans of the Storm. And I remember that my mom said I had to get in the car so the dog would get in the car, and then I had to go out the other side. Well, I was hysterical when I knew that the dog had to be taken to this Orphans of the Storm. So
right.
I didn't want to forgive my dad, you know, but I did forgive him. But that was my first encounter with realizing that I had some kind of a special talent when it came to animals. I seemed to have no fear. I could go up to a neighbor's Doberman who was a watchdog that would bite people, and I had no fear. They would never, they just didn't hurt me. And although I'd been bit in my lifetime, I've always understood why or what,
right.
what the reason was behind it. Not that they just out and out would bite me.
No.
So, yeah, that's my first encounter when I was 5 and then when I was 11. And through
now
the years, I've always...
Yeah.
Go
well,
ahead.
You were one of the very first, I think, well, you're an executive director of a shelter, of an animal shelter, and it was a no-kill shelter. So that must have been one, that was in the 70s. That must have been one of the first no-kill shelters, I'm thinking.
Yes, yes, it was. It was Save a Pet in Palatine, Illinois, and it was run by a woman by the name of Gertrude Maxwell, and she was just a fantastic individual. The only problem is that we had 35 women that sat on the board of directors. And when you have 35 women that don't know how to run a shelter, then everybody wants to bring a little carpet. They want to bring toys. They want to bring all these things. And that's not the way it's handled in a shelter because you've
right.
got fleas and food and other dogs fighting over it. So it's not like the way you would take care of your dog at home. Or your cat at home. It's totally different. So I would have such a difficult time with trying to explain to them, ladies, all these carpets are wonderful, but they attract fleas.
Right.
And
right.
all these toys
how many
are
animals
really nice.
Were in that shelter?
There were actually 250. We were over capacity.
Wow, a huge one. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And actually, I was able to raise quite a bit of money so to have a new shelter built, and myself and a group of us. So I got a humanitarian award for being able to do that. And
yeah.
we were able to stop any of the animals being shipped out because we were overcrowded and then having to ship them to facilities where they were kill shelters. So we saved a lot of animals and still doing it to this day.
You are still doing it to this day. You're still, what's the
yes,
biggest,
I
mean, you ran that shelter for six years, I think, did you? Is that
uh-huh.
right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So in what would you say to, you know, if somebody runs a shelter today and they're listening and they would really dearly love to be no kill, What do they need to know? What do they need to know other than, you know, it's not they don't want to kill animals, but what is it that enabled you to be able to raise that money, or is it money that keeps the shelter no kill? What is it? Like, what's the magic ingredient?
Well, there's a lot of different ingredients. There's not just one. But the most tempting is to try and reduce the overpopulation, not only by spaying and neutering, but mm-hmm. also by educating people on if they're going to adopt an animal, that this is a responsibility. So there has to be a paradigm shift in the thinking about what this animal is going to mean to the family. So once they do adopt, there won't be a tendency for them to want to relinquish the animal because either they defecate or they do something that's unpleasant to them and their home,
right.
something they didn't expect or didn't want. So all ears and all eyes should be open and aware of what responsibility it is to have an animal. And,
you know, that just made me think of something because I had this visual as you said that, you know, when you adopt a child, there's always some sort of an agency comes into the home and looks around and says, yeah, you know, you're doing a good job. And I just wondered if, you know, if there should be an agency or somebody that comes in when people adopt a new pet and, you know, a month down the line, see how they're doing and if they can address any problems. I wonder if that would help.
That's interesting that you should say that because at Save a Pet, when I got there, there really weren't any rules or regulations that were enforceable in place. So I had mm-hmm. an entire adoption process that also included a follow-up. At that time, there wasn't anything automated the way it is right now where you can use software to track. But we did have the ability to be able to say, you have to answer these questions and we have to be able to follow up to find out that if in fact you have followed them. For instance, mm-hmm. if they say they have a backyard, we would have people in the field that would go out and do they have a fenced-in backyard. And they would do these time check things without people knowing they were coming.
Okay.
So we did always have the right to be able to revoke and take back the dog or the cat. And that was one thing that doesn't really happen in a lot of adoption centers.
Right. Do you think that charging more? Sorry, Kathy.
No.
Go ahead.
No, I don't think that charging more has anything to do with it.
But whether you're going to keep that animal or not? I mean,
no,
there's a thought out there that, you know, you're going to charge $250, so they're going to buy this pet and they're going to, you know, look after it and keep it, rather than that person who can't afford a pet but would probably maybe even treat it better. They can't have one because they can't afford to get it.
Well, now think about that for a second, Frankie. If the dog is being referred to, or a pet is being referred to based on how much it costs, then how much could they really love that animal?
Right.
You know, I can't imagine that they would love the animal enough to be able to say, hey, the way it should be is it doesn't matter how much it costs for the dog or the cat. What matters is, does this animal fit in to our family and into our lifestyle, and is this going to be a member of our family? That's the questions that should be asked. So I agree with that.
Although you do want to be able, you know, if there is no place for this animal to get help, let's say if you can't afford to look after the animal, I mean, that's another consideration. Now let's talk about your Charlie for a moment, because Charlie was a street. He lived on the street with a street person, didn't he?
He was homeless. He had never seen the inside of a home. Yes. Yeah. He lived down the streets with a homeless guy. And he was a pretty wild little boy. He still is, but he's very protective. He walked in the door and he immediately took over my house. Of course, I was warned not to get him, because he was this unruly. But I'm the typical type of mom where if somebody says that they're not controllable right away, I want that one, because he's the bad little boy.
Right. We all like our bad little boys.
Yeah, I want it. Yeah, he came to the door and he lifted his leg first thing in five different places. I had a chicken up on the counter. He jumped up on the counter, knocked it down, got into every one of my waste baskets, and chewed away at the Kleenex in there, and also the empty toilet tissue rolls. He loved those.
And he looked at you and go, you still want me, baby?
Yeah. Oh, well, he picked me. This is a funny story, Frankie. When my dog, Mandy, had been killed, and this is part of the business. She was a canine community reporter for my business, Mandy was, and she was the first one. So I had spent thousands of dollars on promotional material having her as a canine community reporter, and all of my 3D animation, everything was around her. Well, when she was killed, she was run over by a neighbor. I was devastated, and I really didn't know what to do. So like all dogs that pass over Rainbow Bridge, Mandy was up in heaven, and I thought, you know, I'm going to make Mandy, she's going to be a pet from a canine community reporter from heaven. So she helps up pets cross over Rainbow Bridge. Well, while Mandy was up there, she decided that she was going to find me another dog, and this was this Charlie. And I was contacted by the Humane Society, and they said they had a little dog that, because I was used to fostering dogs.
Right.
So I went and they said they had a little Chihuahua. First off, I said I wanted a female because I didn't want any of the lifting of the leg.
Right.
So I go there, and here's this little Chihuahua, and here's this little troublemaker in the back of me. He's carrying on and on, and he's in with five other dogs, and he's like pushing them away. So I turned around, and I looked, and he was going nuts. And the girl from the shelter says, you know, you really don't want him. He's very unruly and all that. So I looked at him. I said, well, let me go in the cage here. So I go in the cage. There was a chair in the corner. Well, he knocked me over. And I'm on oxygen to boot now, so I got an oxygen tank and everything. But he knocks me over, and I go into the chair, and he jumps up on my lap, and now he becomes the protector of me, and no other dog can come around me. And it was like, this is my mom. I'm watching out for her. But the truth is that this was his act. He was putting on his show for his mom.
Oh, that's so funny.
I said, okay, I'm gonna take him. So then when I brought him home and everything, he has been a character ever since. He now is a service dog for me. So he identifies when I have COPD and congestive heart failure. So if I'm having a flare-up or an episode, he identifies that and is right in my face with his little face just to make sure. Are you breathing? Are you okay, Mom?
Isn't that great? I love that.
Yeah.
Was he trained to do that? Yeah.
Yes.
How long did that training take?
It took about 4 months for him to be able to actually come up and pick up the oxygen cord and bring it over to me, because I have a tendency to take it off and then I just drop it on the ground because it's about 40 feet long and they get tangled up in it. And I've fallen a few times too, which is a joke. He thinks I want to play.
Is he a Maltese? Is that what Charlie is? Is he?
No,
or
he's
Yorkie
a Lhasa-Lhapso Yorkie mix.
Okay.
Yeah,
you know, typically you don't think of those dogs as a service dog.
No.
But any dog
really can
get trained.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is funny, too. Frankie, on our the Dog Connection TV, which is that's our shows, originally we had one called the Good Dog Day Show. And it was just going
to
be
get
a web
to all of these shows.
Yeah,
we're
going to
go over all
right.
these shows if you're listening. Don't worry. We're just, Gabby's just making a reference right now, but we're going to go deeper into them. Go ahead.
I was going to go deeper into it.
Okay, well, let's talk about the Good Dog Show then. Let's set it up, the frame of reference then. Kathy has the Dog Connection TV, and under the Dog Connection TV, and the website for that is, what is your website? It is caninecommunityreporternews.com. Is that correct?
No, it's actually Dog Connection TV, too.
Oh, is it Dog Connection TV? I think you can get to both ways. Okay.
Right.
And under the Dog Connection TV, there's also the Canine Community Reporter News. And then you also have the Good Dog Day. Am I missing anything?
Nope. That's
okay.
It.
So let's talk about a Good Dog Day, since we were talking about dogs who could get trained to do anything. So let's go there. So your Charlie was trained to pick up your oxygen and make sure that you're breathing, and if you're not, make sure you put the oxygen on you under your your nose or whatever so that you can get it back going. And a Good Dog Day.
A Good Dog Day is, let me back up just a minute about the purpose of the Dog Connection so that I can segue into a Good Dog Day. The Dog Connection was really designed for the purpose of being able to help people understand the value of their dogs, specifically the dogs. And I realize cats are in this too, but this one was just designed for identifying the value of the dog and for helping people to have this paradigm shift and realize that these dogs are bringing a lot of value to their life from a spiritual level, an emotional level, from a number of different levels, but people don't really realize that. They become aware that they do have a connection with their dog, and their dog is really their best friend. They can talk to them about anything. They're loyal. They're unconditionally loving, and they are just wonderful listeners, and they will do anything to be with you and to help you. Once a person recognizes that, then somehow their life starts to take a shift and they realize that, hey, things aren't so bad, and happiness occurs, joy occurs, and some wonderful things start to happen in their lifetime. What's the most important thing that happens is once they become so connected to their dog, the likelihood of being able to give up that dog for stupid reasons like my I can't have them when I move and all that, because now they're part of the family. They're emotionally attached. They're emotionally connected.
Right.
Now the difficulty is giving them up, and that's what our hope is. That was the design of the shows, of the Dog Connection.
Connection to your pet.
To your pet, yes. And understand that it's a life-changing experience, if you will connect. If you take
it
the
really
time
is a life
to look at your eyes, it is.
Yeah.
And it,
you know, people need to understand that when you bring just like a child, you bring a pet into your home, your life will change. Your lifestyle does change a little bit. You know, I mean, I was given Bongo 2 years ago by my husband here, and I love him, and I love him to death, but, you know, a little bit of our spontaneity is gone. We can't just pick up and leave for a weekend. You have a dog. You have a pet. And
right.
It's always, you know, Bongo's waiting. We have to go home. He's waiting for us. And, you know, which is fine, but that's a commitment. You just need to make that commitment and know that your life is going to change that way. But the joy and reward.
Just like a child. Just like a child.
Yeah, just like a child. Exactly. You know, you can't just let your child, you know, stay in his crib all day. So, yeah, just like a child. But the love that you get in return, you know, for giving up a little bit of freedom, I say, is just phenomenal. You know, there is nothing like the love of a pet. There really isn't. You think how loyal these little, when you think of these little furry people, and you know, they crawl on you and they love you, and the joy that they have for you, it's just phenomenal when you think about it. Because, you know, our friends aren't like that. They don't love us that much.
No, they don't. They don't, and they don't backstab either.
No, they don't. They wouldn't think of it.
No, they don't. Well, you know, one of our associates, his name is Lou. He has an organization. He teaches about what satisfaction does, and he actually uses the Dog Connection as an example quite a bit in his lectures. What he says is, it's like when you finally connect and you finally are a true being, it's like riding a bike. You don't know why, but you can't ride this bike, and you're on it, and you keep trying, and there's something that occurs, and when that shift finally occurs and you can begin to ride that bike, it's like a euphoric feeling that you're finally able to ride it, and no matter what, for your entire life, you never forget how to ride a bike.
Yep.
Isn't that interesting?
Yep.
So here's the thing. I'm going to give a life awakening moment to some people right now. When your dog comes up to you and they bring you a ball or they bring you something, the first thing that someone thinks of is that they're bringing you this item to play with. So you take it out of their mouth and then you throw it. And then they bring it back to you. And you do this over and over again. And then you get annoyed if you don't want to play with them. So you're either pushing them away, or you're not disowning them, but you're dismissing them because you don't have time for them at that moment. The real shift and the real thinking here should be, when that dog brings you something, they're bringing you a gift.
Right.
It's a gift that they gave you. So you should first acknowledge that they brought you the gift and look them in the eyes and say, thank you. They brought you a gift. If you don't want to play with them, that's okay. You still acknowledge that they brought you something. So it's not so much that they want to play, it's that they want to give you something, because that's their way of showing affection to you.
My dog would not let anyone in the house if he didn't have something in his mouth to give them. And he doesn't always give it up to them, but it's like a gift. Like, you come in the house and he scrambles to put anything in his mouth so he can come up to you and have something in it. And it's like, thank you. Yeah, so cute.
Yeah. So if you recognize that the people, when they walk in the door, they say, thank you so much, he feels better.
Yeah.
Because that was a gift.
Yeah.
It's small things like that. Those are the kind of things that, well, anyway, when this first was designed, the Dog Connection was first designed, these were a combination of blog postings and web TV series and pictures and a number of different clips from other people. And then, of course, our own commentary. That's what the shows are about. But what happened was, when we got to one, well, the shows are Life Lessons from My Dog, and another one is the Canine Chef Show. I should add that every one of these shows are all showcased from the dog's perspective, what it's like for a dog to teach a human how to act, for a dog to teach a human how to cook the food they really like. And then we have the Rainbow Bridge Show, which Mandy is involved in that. And actually, that's been a very popular one. We haven't launched that one yet, but everybody's gearing up towards it because Mandy actually talks with Scout, who is one of our friends. Her dog is a Yorkie. They're both in Rainbow Bridge right now, and the both of them, talk about how the pets are doing at Rainbow Bridge. And eventually we'll have Rainbow Bridge Resort. I looked at the financials and I saw that that it was a good investment to create Rainbow Bridge Resort in heaven.
Oh, I love that.
So we'll have a resort up there for all the animals to be able to go to. And they can virtually invite their parents to come along too and have a good time at Rainbow Bridge. The Scout has a cat on Earth named Nala. And Nala actually reports, she's got a little a press hat, and on top of her press hat is a picture of Scout on it.
Oh,
so that she, cute. Although she's a canine reporter, she's a cat reporter giving canine reports. Kind of a little twist there. But she's real cute. We have about 11 canine reporters.
And what do the reporters report on?
Local news from their perspective.
Okay. Beautiful.
What they do is they look for dogs that are truly making a difference, or animals that are truly making a difference in someone's life, and then they report on them.
Oh, it's not lovely.
From their perspective. Yeah. Well, that's how we ended up with a Good Dog Day. A good friend of mine, Gaetan Chade, he owns Today Productions. He's done about 400 documentaries. So he and I were talking, and it became very clear that he had the ability to be able to make this A Good Dog Day into a real TV show with Animal Planet's Disney Channel, and using the types of components that we had originally designed for the show, but make it into a real TV show, not just a web TV series.
Right.
So that's what we're in the process of doing now. And these are for dogs that are companion dogs. And what they're really about, Frankie, is these the dogs that provide some phenomenal services, like Gander, which is Lonnie Hodges' dog. Gander is a real well-known dog that helps individuals with PTSD, and Lonnie was one of those. Well, Lonnie will be a part of the show along with Gander, because Gander provides a fantastic service for Lonnie, and Lonnie is now paying it forward by sharing what Gander does for him with others. So it's dogs that provide a service for people, and people that depend on these dogs for their life, in essence. If you were to talk to somebody that has a service dog, or a dog that is a companion dog, it could be a therapy dog, a comfort dog, an assistance dog, any dog, a military dog, any dog that is your right hand, they complete you. They do something in your life or in your daily movement that makes your life better, then that dog becomes their best friend. Well, that's the way a dog should really be in our life, whether we need them as a service dog or not. So we want to honor those dogs.
I love how you put it. They're dogs of character and kindness. I love that. Dogs of character and kindness.
Yes,
I saw a documentary on a woman not that long ago who had, I think she had epilepsy. And she would you know, just pass out, just fall down and pass out wherever. And so she had a beautiful golden, and he knew when that was going to happen. And so he would stand in front of her so that she couldn't fall down. and just let her know that you're about to have an event and, you know, go someplace and sit down. Just beautiful. Like, they're just so amazing. Like, it's just phenomenal.
Yes.
Love it. Just love it.
Yes. Yes, they are. And it's about time. See, now, here's the twist, though, Frankie. When we do these shows, the twist is that we're going to be reporting and showing what it's like from the dog's point of view.
Right.
To be a service dog.
Right. Yeah, which is really cool.
So it's, so although we know that a person that's getting the service respects their dog, what is it that the dog is thinking, and what is it that the dog really wants to get from the person that they're giving the service to? Well, we know that they want love and everything else, but they also need direction, and they need discipline, and they need support. They need all the things that a child would need, too. But
right.
In this case, in a lot of cases, once these dogs become trained as therapy or companion dogs, then they expect that their owners should know what it is that they're doing for them. So we love that idea that it's the dog really training the person, and we like that. So we're giving the dogs a voice finally, and we're giving the dogs a voice in a different way, not only from a
long
service
overdue.
Standpoint, yes, but from every which way.
You know, I just love
you look
it when
at a picture.
Yeah.
What?
Go ahead. I was just going to say I love when I go into a store or a business that has a dog. And they bring their dog to work, and it just brings a smile to your face, and you want to shop there, and just the energy in that place is so much better.
Because
just from having
a camaraderie. Yeah. Anybody that does that, their dog is part of the family.
Yeah.
And anyone that you become close to or friends with, it's like, if my dog doesn't like you or you don't like dogs, right away you think, uh-oh, what's wrong with that person?
Right. Like, yeah. That was my next question. What do you recommend for people who are afraid of dogs?
Afraid is one thing. Not liking a dog is...
Yeah.
What?
I said I feel sorry for them because it's you know, for me, it's like second nature. I've always had an animal my whole life, but to be afraid of an animal, you know, how can you recommend how they might get over that? Or,
well,
I mean,
I'll,
hypnosis is one thing, but other than that,
you know, I would really, I don't want to go into some kind of recommendation because all of a sudden you're going to be getting calls and saying, who does she think she is? To be able to say that. So I'm going to leave it to the experts when it comes to people that are afraid. Now, for those that don't like dogs, here's what I recommend. Don't be their friend.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting. I was at the park on Saturday, and there's a beautiful dog. He's a part Rottie, part, I guess he's all right, but he's just got this really cute little boy face, and he's so sweet. And all he wants to do is bring you his bum so he can get it rubbed. And every now and then, there's some guy maybe he just doesn't like he loves everybody, but there was one man that came in the park and he just didn't like him, like just out of the blue didn't like him. And you know, we had to keep redirecting him all morning, like, don't go near that guy if you don't like him. He wasn't trying to go near him, right? And but it's funny how they, you know, they fixate on somebody or they pick somebody, and they either love them or they, you know, most dogs are neutral. They don't really care. But sometimes they fixate and they go, you know what, I just don't like you, and I'm going to let you know that. Didn't try to bite or anything. Just like, I don't like you.
You know, Charlie is that way too. There's certain people that he just doesn't like, and the hair will raise up on his back. And I can sense it before they even come around the corner. I can sense his body language, knowing, so I'll know to pick him up because I know he's going to try and go after that. And that person, whoever it is, they either have a uniform on or they have a hat on or something that he identifies with. I still haven't been able to figure out what it is.
Maybe
with
it's
him,
animal
but
control.
I know. You know, it could have been when he was on the streets all the time that there were certain ones that became a threat to him and his dad. You know,
yeah, I had a little dog, Roxy. She did not like anybody who was carrying mail. If they don't have to be a mailman, but they could look like a mailman by carrying mail. Or if they were Chinese, for some reason, she didn't like Chinese people. Who knows why? They looked different to her.
Yeah.
But she would bark, 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 bark at them. But nobody else.
Yeah.
It was very strange. Yeah. Oh, well, they have their own personalities. That's what's so beautiful about them. They do have individual personalities. You can't just lump them into one big thing and think all dogs are this and all dogs are that, because each one is a person on their own right, you know, with their own quirks and their own interests and things that they love to do, and people that they love, and they're just beautiful.
Well, the one thing I would say to people that don't like dogs or are afraid of dogs, if they're around them, if they can help themselves to just be neutral so that the dog doesn't pick up on it, because if a dog doesn't like you, they're going to pick up that scent, and they know immediately. You know,
right.
One
they're
of the
not
things
like
that, right. Yeah. One of the things I found early.
If they know you don't like them.
I was going to say that one of the things I've learned early on is that, like I said before, I have this thing about being able to be with a dog or meet a dog for the first time. And Richie Schwartz is one of our associates on the Dog Connection. And he's been voted the best pet photographer in Long Island.
Oh, wow.
And he's on our dog. We do dog hangouts using Google Hangouts on air. And he's one of the participants in it. And at one of them we did, I said to him, Richie, why do you think that you're able to be such a good pet photographer? And then when I questioned him a little bit more, because he couldn't really get to the answer, but when I questioned him a little bit more, I said, do you think it's because you're their best friend? And he said, that's it. He said, I've had an aha moment. That is it. Because when he first meets these dogs, he doesn't have any feeling of fearing them. And he immediately puts out an energy that says, I'm your friend. You can trust me. Honest, I'm not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
And when he does that, he asks the people who are the owners of the pets to please leave the room and leave him alone with the dog for a minute or so that they don't get the energy from the owners. And then he calms them down and he gets them to a place where they trust him. And that's why he's such a good photographer, because he becomes their friend. He is truly an animal lover, and he communicates, he connects with them. So that's one of the gifts that I have.
You made a good point there, Kathy. I just wanted to say something, that the point of asking the owner to leave the room. My son's dog is very protective, and when he goes to the vet, he's like, they have to muzzle him, and because he wants to protect the mom, and especially more than the dad. And so when we finally figured out, if we get them to go away, he's like, do whatever you want. He doesn't need to be muzzled. He's not going to bite or do anything. It's when they're in the room, he's trying to protect them. So he gets nervous and, you know, that energy. So if you have a dog like that, it's possible that just leave the room and other people will be fine with them.
Exactly.
Possibly.
Yes, they will.
Yeah.
They will.
Yeah.
Well, particularly if it's a male dog and it's a female that they're trying to protect.
Right.
She will give off the energy because she may have the dog in her lap or something and she's holding on to them. She's inviting that dog to protect her and to act as her guardian. And if she understood the language that she was giving to that dog, if that dog was behind her, it would be totally different.
Right.
As opposed to in front of her. So
absolutely.
You're absolutely well. And the point of all of that is it's the energy that you give off, and it's the energy when you first meet an animal of how they're going to determine how they're going to react to you.
Right.
If you are calm and you are inviting and you let them know that you're not going to hurt them, they're going to be open to you. But if you walk up to them very hesitantly, they can sense that you're scared and they'll act differently, particularly if the owner is also acting anxious or worried that their dog is going to do something wrong. They feel that immediately.
If you go to a dog park, the dogs will attack you know, they usually go after a very submissive dog. So they, so many of them will do that, and because they just want to let them know that, you know, they're the boss, they're the king of the park or whatever. But they don't do that to confident dogs. They do it to the submissive dogs. And so it's the same with you. If you're going to be all scared and timid, just be confident, you know. And dogs are masters of intuitive communication. You know, you don't, you can think things and they understand, they get it. Because it's, it, you know,
Oh, hey, listen, intuitive. How about, I don't know if you've been seeing some of these things like the GoDaddy commercial. Now, I'm not condoning it at all. I'm actually, did you see that commercial at all?
I didn't see it. What did it do?
Okay. It was supposed to be going on during the Super Bowl, but it's a commercial of how a dog got out of a truck and then it found its way back. It was a puppy. And when they finally got the dog back, they said, oh, I'm glad that you got it back because it was being sold at a pet shop or something like that. And so it was not a good commercial at all. But the point is that the dogs that can find their way back to a home that they experience love and everything to, who says they're not smart? Look at what get us to. Look at what they get us to do. They want to, really? Seriously?
I know. It's like, you got your $200 bed.
Well, you know, they had all their meals. They get to be taken out for a walk. They get to be driven around to see the scenery. They travel a lot. They get to have fun with friends. They get to cuddle in bed. Of course.
My dog's at dog camp right now. You know? He goes to camp. He's hanging out on a farm, you know, with a bunch of dogs having the life of Riley. And then and then he'll come home and he'll, you know, get on his Caranda bed with the sheepskin covering and he'll cuddle. Careful.
But, you know, think about it, when they've got to go, they give you that look and then you look at them and you say, oh, do you want to go out? Well, of course they do. That's the look.
Right. Right. And you understand that look.
Yeah, and
you know, there is communication.
You just start to get up, and they're in circles. So if you read their mind, what they're saying is, boy, do I got her trained.
No kidding. They know the look, too. They know that look, like, look how cute I am. Are you going to give me some of that? Yeah.
How about the look of you don't think that was me that did that? Oh, yeah. Totally wrong.
I love that. No, that wasn't me. I love the guilty look. The guilty look is so funny. That's like the funniest ever. Yeah, they understand everything. They're not dumb. No, whoever said stupid animal, not true.
And how about emotions when you're sad or when you're feeling down? Yeah. All of a sudden, if people paid attention, their dog is right there. They're right in their face. And why is it that when a woman is sad, she cries to her dog and she holds on to her dog? All women do.
They're such good listeners.
Yeah.
They comfort you.
And don't they bring
comfort? If you own a dog, you know, your rate of heart attack goes down. So, you know, either you can be married men or you could get a dog. Apparently married men have less heart attacks, too. They don't say anything about women. I don't know about us, but.
Well, there's a statistic for people in nursing homes or the homes for the aged or the hospitals when the dog goes to visit. All they're doing is just saying hello, but they bring their calm energy and their loving disposition and their unconditional love, and people just melt, and they love it.
Well,
a lot of people bring cats in. I just happen to be partial to dogs because I think they have a special sense that we don't recognize they have.
Did you see that? Did you used to watch The Big C? Kathy, did you ever watch that show? It was called The Big C with Laura Linney. It was a very funny show. The show on cancer.
Yeah.
And so when she went into that home, she went into the hospice and there was a cat there and the cat would go sit on the bed of somebody who was about to die. So nobody wanted the cat to sit on their bed because they thought they were going to die. Don't bring the cat.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the cat's coming to my room. You know, you're raising money because you know it is a serious issue that there are like 11 million animals in shelters. Like 5,500 dogs die every day across the United States, and you are helping through your website and through your store at the mall to offset some of those costs and to raise some money for that. And that's just a beautiful thing. So how can people get involved in the Dog Connection, Kathy? What would you like them to do?
Well, we have a movement. They can go to thedogconnection.tv. That's the website address. And right on the homepage is a join the movement. And then they become part of our list, so to speak. And the movement is nothing more than this. Whenever we have something that is a project-oriented where we need help, we need people's help in getting the word out. Not saying to put in money, but to get the word out and spread it, whether it be through social media or through emails or whatever. Then we will send out notices to everyone that's on our movement list. Other than that, we don't ask people for anything. We don't ask them to go to our Facebook page. We don't do any of that. We ask people that if they want to be part of the movement, do that. So that would be the first thing. And then, of course, if you do want to get some information on how we're doing things and stuff, you can like our page. But more importantly, we don't really care whether you like the page. We want you to share the content if you feel it's good.
Mm-hmm. So, are you looking for any more community reporters?
We are looking for reporters. We have, like I said, about 11 of them right now, and they're keeping us pretty busy. So not necessarily do we need them right at this moment, but if someone wants to put in a story that a canine reporter can submit, then there is also on the Dog Connection TV, there's an area for you to submit your story, and they can submit a video. They can submit pictures. Question interview as well, or they can even recommend an organization that they feel that has a real good dog product. We don't try to sell dog products, but we like to try them out and then recommend things that we think will be very good and try and get the best prices. And if we can find a wholesaler that has a good price, then we'll commit at a wholesale price, making just a little bit of profit so it can go into helping the animals. This is not a site that has been designed to be a money maker. It's strictly designed to help the animals in shelters. And that's our goal.
And you have a daily blog. What's that about?
Well, that's just random thoughts from Cappy and Charlie. We talk about what happened during the day, or if one of the canine reporters came up with something good and we're going to report on it, then it's a video as well as the actual documented post with the pictures.
Okay, so, and where do people see that on your site, on the Dog Connection site?
It's on there, on the Dog Connection. Yep.
And do you do this every day?
Frankie, I'm supposed to do it every day. no, I
haven't
every day.
That's okay. Life gets in the way sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it does. It does. Let's put it this way. It's called
every day,
but it could be semi-daily. It could be quarterly. It could be. Yeah. It's when I'm able to do it. As I told you, I have a health issue.
You do. And I wanted to say something about that because I did mention that you were one of the most courageous women that I know. And you are, Kathy. And I want to say something if you're a woman and you're listening, I want you to go and go to the Dog Connection TV website and look at Kathy because she's one of the most beautiful, beautiful inside and outside women you're ever going to meet or see. And you are brave enough to have your picture taken with your oxygen on. And I just think that's absolutely brilliant because, you know, women are very vain and they, you know, a lot of women wouldn't want to do that, especially when you're really a very pretty woman, but you just show it, and you are who you are, and it's like you shine inside and out. And guess what? She met Mother Teresa.
Yeah, I did. That was a real blessing. That was in 1996. Yeah.
What do you say to that? Yeah, talk about that for a moment, if you will.
About Mother Teresa? Well, I was chosen by, I was in the healthcare industry for 30 plus years, and I was chosen by a delegation to, or I was chosen to be part of a delegation with some senators and dignitaries from Illinois to go to India to address the healthcare issue because it was deplorable at that time. And at the same time, I was working on AIDS, helping with AIDS, and then also battered women, and also for dogs that in shelters that were being euthanized in kill shelters. So I had three different causes.
Wow.
And when I was there, Mother Teresa, actually I met her in Calcutta, and I was walking down the stairs, and she came down after me, and she was quite crippled at that time. And she came up to me, and she gave me a big hug, and then she gave me a holy card and a little medal. And she told me that I should never give up my passion, and that she was, what she knew was that what I was really doing was helping those that couldn't help themselves.
Right.
So whether it be people with AIDS, whether it be battered women, or whether it be dogs in shelters. So
that's what
I have done all my life, is help people that couldn't help them. To this day, I still always am giving something to somebody. I make it a point to give something when I see someone.
I told you she's beautiful.
And I don't have to know them. And I don't have to know them.
Yeah. You know, it's a lesson for everybody. You know, you are. You're just a beautiful example and a lesson for us all. And thank you for that.
Well, thank you, Frankie. That makes me feel really good. I really appreciate that. I'm very grateful for what I have, and I have too much stuff. So I always look at it this way. If you have stuff in your house and you don't use it, then think of somebody who really could use it and give it to them.
Right.
What do you need all those stuff for? What do you need the books for? What do you need all those clothes for? What do you need all those things for? Find someone that could use it, and then let them give it forward.
You know, it is amazing. You know, we are overstuffed. We're overstuffed. And the landfills, you know, it's horrible when you think about it. All the stuff that's in dollar stores and stuff that's just going to be destroyed one day. And when somebody, I remember so clearly when my mom passed away, and I went to her house and I just looked and go, that's her stuff. Like, that was, you know, what was left really of her stuff. But it's stuff. It's all it is. And
you want to cling to it. Yeah. I mean, I can tell you how many times people will say to me, oh, I really like that. And you like it? How much do you like it? I'll take it off and I'll give it to them.
I've done that too.
Yeah, I could be in line and I see somebody behind me and I see that they're pulling out their food stamps or something. So I'll buy their groceries for them. Or I don't know who they are or whatever. My friend and I, we could be in a restaurant and so many times we'll buy somebody a dinner or something. Not because we want anything. There's nothing that you want in return for that. It's that satisfaction feeling that you get. We call it the goosebump feeling.
Whenever
you do something for somebody and you're not expecting anything in return and they enjoy it and they like it, you see their face and then you get the goosebumps all over. I love those goosebump moments.
I do too. And you know what? It's like you just never know. Like people are always going, what's my purpose? Why am I here? And it could be just to give a person a smile or buy them something in the exact moment they need it. And that's it.
Yes.
And you just gave them, you know, another 10 years to live or something because you don't know what was going to happen to them later that day. Yeah, it's fantastic. Good for you. Wow.
And it doesn't have to be a lot. You don't have to give a lot. And always when you're giving, if you're giving and you expect something in return, it's not really giving.
That's right.
It has to be giving, because don't ever expect to get it back. Don't lend somebody something if you don't think they're capable of giving it back to you. Just give it to them.
Right.
Just give it to them. What, if you're not using it, what do you need it for, and why do you have to be paid money for it? If you're
right.
not using it, it's just sitting there doing nothing anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you see, I told you she's beautiful inside and outside. What's your vision? What's the end vision for all of this? What do you hope you will accomplish or leave behind, the legacy, or what is it?
Yeah,
or the go forward?
My legacy is that I could make a difference so that people will look at their dogs and realize they've got a best friend sitting right next to them, and that mm-hmm. that best friend is, not only did they change their life, particularly if it was a rescue dog, but that dog is changing their life. Not did, but is, and will continue to change their life. Because the closer you become to each other and the more you become best friends, your life becomes happier. And that's what I would like to make a change. And not a change, but a difference in people's lives. Mm-hmm. I would hope they would accept these animals as family and don't give them up. Don't get them if they're going to give them up. And I know
yeah.
they say, well, I would never do that, or I had never intended to, but would you give away your child?
Right.
You'd find a way. You'd find a way.
Yeah,
you know?
they're not with us that long. They really aren't. It's a blip,
they are.
Right?
Right. And
it
if
really
the dog is doing something that someone doesn't like, remember, we're supposed to be the intelligent individual.
Right.
So if they're doing something wrong, look at what you are doing, that they are reacting that way. Because if you change what you're doing, then hopefully they will change what they're doing. So look within
yeah.
to see problems that your dogs have.
Yeah, you might not be exercising them enough or spending enough time with them or making them
right.
anxious in some way, that they're reacting in the only way that they can.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
absolutely.
And you're acting
absolutely.
Out, especially if they want you to, if they knew what their dogs did when they were gone during the day, they wouldn't
mm-hmm.
ever want their dogs alone, because dogs don't want to be alone.
No, they don't.
Want to be. They don't. They just don't want to be alone. So, as a matter of fact, there's a new thing coming out that we're getting associated with. It's called Petception, and it's a live cam that goes on the dogs. But it's one where people can talk to their dog through the cam. And
oh, wow.
It goes,
like it's like a GoPro that you can talk to your dog?
Yeah, it tapes it all, too, so you can see what your dog did during the day. But you can talk to him, give a command. You can do a lot of different things.
Wow.
And, yeah, we're forming a partnership with them. So look out for Petception. That's a good one.
Petception. Okay. Kathy, we've got 90 seconds left in our show. You have been listening
right.
to Kathy Trocchioni. I just want you to give out again your information where people can contact you if they want to, your website, and any final words.
Okay.
Go.
Okay. The dogconnection.tv or the caninecommunityreportersnews.com. Both of them are going to the same place. Come to our Facebook page, the Dog Connection TV. And Twitter is Canine Reporter, and I'm Kathy Tarchioni, and my dog is Charlie, and he's a Canine Community Reporter and lead anchor for the Dog Connection TV. Okay.
Thank you so much for being my guest, and it's so lovely
thanks,
to hang
Frankie.
Out with you today.
And
everybody,
thanks,
thank you wherever you are, the day or night of the world. We love you, and come back next week. And Kathy's show, you'll be able
okay.
to download the show in a couple of minutes. You weren't able to listen live, or you want to share it with somebody else. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Okay.